Chapter 23. Before nightfall, they had completed the corrugated iron screen. It was a simple four-walled structure with no roof to it. One end of it was detachable, and all four walls were pierced at regular intervals with small loopholes for defence. Long enough to accommodate a dozen men in comfort, high enough to reach above the heads of the tallest, and exactly the width of the bridge, it was not a thing of beauty. "How are you going to move it, Boss?" Ruffy eyed the screen dubiously. "I'll show you. We'll move it back to the camp now, so that in the morning we can commute to work in it." Bruce selected 12 men, and they crowded through the open end into the shelter and closed it behind them. "Okay, Ruffy, take the trucks away." Hendry and Ruffy reversed the two trucks back to the lager, leaving the shelter standing at the head of the bridge like a small Nissen hut. Inside it, Bruce stationed his men at intervals along the walls. "Use the bottom timber of the frame to lift on," he shouted. "Are you all ready?" "All right. Lift." The shelter swayed and rose 6 inches above the ground. From the lager they could see only the boots of the men inside. "All together," ordered Bruce. "Walk." Rocking and creaking over the uneven ground, the structure moved ponderously back towards the lager. Below it, the feet moved like those of a caterpillar. The men in the lager started to cheer, and from inside the shelter they answered with whoops of laughter. It was fun. They were enjoying themselves enormously, completely distracted from the horror of poison arrows and the lurking phantoms in the jungle around them. They reached the camp and lowered the shelter. Then, one at a time, the gendarmes slipped across the few feet of open into the safety of the lager, to be met with laughter and back-slapping and mutual congratulation. "Well, it works, boss," Ruffy greeted Bruce in the uproar. "Yes." Then he lifted his voice. "That's enough. Quiet down, all of you. Get back to your posts." The laughter subsided, and the confusion became order again. Bruce walked to the centre of the lager and looked about him. There was complete quiet now. They were all watching him. "I've read about this so often," he grinned inwardly, the heroic speech to the men on the eve of battle. "Let's pray I don't make a hash of it." "Are you hungry?" he asked loudly in French, and received a chorus of hearty affirmatives. "There's bully beef for dinner." This time humorous groans. "And bully beef for breakfast tomorrow," he paused. "And then it's finished." They were silent now. "So you're going to be truly hungry by the time we cross this river. The sooner we repair the bridge, the sooner you'll get your bellies filled again." "I might as well rub it in," decided Bruce. "You all saw what happened to the person who went into the open today, so I don't have to tell you to keep under cover. The Sergeant Major is making arrangements for sanitation, 5-gallon drums. They won't be very comfortable, so you won't be tempted to sit too long." They laughed a little at that. "Remember this. As long as you stay in the lager or the shelter, they can't touch you. There's absolutely nothing to fear. They can beat their drums and wait as long as they like, but they can't harm us." A murmur of agreement. "And the sooner we finish the bridge, the sooner we'll be on our way." Bruce looked round the circle of faces and was satisfied with what he saw. The completion of the shelter had given their morale a boost. "All right, Sergeant Jacques, you can start sweeping with the searchlights as soon as it's dark." Bruce finished and went across to join Charmaine beside the ford. He loosed the straps of his helmet and lifted it off his head. His hair was damp with perspiration, and he ran his fingers through it. "You are tired," Charmaine said softly, examining the dark hollows under his eyes and the puckered marks of strain at the corners of his mouth. "No, I'm all right," he denied. But every muscle in his body ached with fatigue and nervous tension. "Tonight you must sleep all night," she ordered him. "I will make the bed in the back of the car." Bruce looked at her quickly. "With you?" he asked. "Yes." "You do not mind that everyone should know? I am not ashamed of us." There was a fierceness in her tone. "I know, but..." You said once that nothing between you and I could ever be dirty. No, of course it couldn't be dirty. I just thought, well then, I love you, and from now on we have only one bed between us. She spoke with finality. Yesterday she was a virgin, he thought with amazement. And now? Well, now it's no holds barred. Once she's roused, a woman is more reckless of consequences than any man. They're such wholesale creatures. But she's right, of course. She's my woman, and she belongs in my bed. The hell with the rest of the world and what it thinks. Make the bed, wench. He smiled at her tenderly. 2 hours after dark, the drum started again. They lay together, holding close, and listened to it. It held no terror now, for they were warm and secure in the afterglow of passion. It was like lying and listening to the impotent fury of a rainstorm on the roof at night.